Every time the Blackhawks win this season, you could win big with Circa Sports Illinois. One fan scores a two-night stay at Circa Resort and Casino, and 100 more win a $100 Circa app credit. Don't miss your shot. See the Blackhawks contest page.
Welcome to Blackhawks Live, presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be. Charlie Romeliot is here, not in our downtown Chicago studios, at least for me. I am in Toronto right now as the Blackhawks get ready to start a three-game road trip against the Maple Leafs tomorrow. But my guy, Jack Heinrich, is with me, and he is in Chicago. And Jack, this is the first time that we're actually doing this virtually, but I can actually see you. We're doing this through FaceTime right now, so I feel like I am in the studio. What's going on, man?
Yeah, it's nice to see you and make sure that we're all connected while you're over the border.
The last time we tried doing this, we ran into some technical difficulties, so hopefully we get through the show unscathed. Let's get to the big news for Chicago. Unfortunately, Connor Bedard suffering an injury on Friday night in St. Louis. The Blackhawks had a game on Saturday night at the United Center. He was quickly ruled out for that game. Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill said he didn't want to provide an injury update until they knew more information. So Saturday came and went. We weren't really sure what the status of Bedard was going to be outside of they ruled him out for the three-game road trip. Sunday, yesterday, was an off day for Chicago. They returned to practice today. Right before practice started, we saw that Bedard got placed on injured reserve with an upper body injury. So that's what the team is calling it. And I originally saw that, Jack, and I thought, okay, regular injured reserve feels like it could be a positive sign because he only has to miss a minimum of 7 games. But then the other part of my brain said a long-term injured reserve doesn't really serve a purpose anyway, because it's not like the Hawks have to open up cap space by putting him on LTIR. And LTIR, long-term injured reserve, essentially means you have to miss 10 games or 24 days. And so I thought that was encouraging. But then I remembered last year, I think when Jason Dickinson suffered an injury in March, that he essentially was ruled out for the rest of the season, and they just put him on normal injured reserve. So I was like, okay, like, who knows? Maybe it is longer term. Maybe it's just shorter term. Well, then Jeff Blashill speaks to the media, and he says Bedard is going to be reevaluated at the beginning of the new year. So they want to get through Christmas and the next couple weeks without Connor. And it's really unfortunate. I'm still having a hard time wrestling with whether or not this is best case scenario or a potential worst case scenario. Feels like worst case scenario, he would have been out for the season with a significant injury. Mm-hmm. But the fact that they're kind of labeling it as week to week makes me feel like it's kind of a positive, but it's just really unfortunate because Connor was having a Hart Trophy finalist type season. I mean, if the season ended Friday, or I just say today, he would be a Hart Trophy finalist with Nathan MacKinnon and maybe even Macklin Celebrini. And so for him to be sidelined for any sort of time during a season that he's having right now, it's just really unfortunate timing.
Yeah, you just felt like he was taking it to another gear, and it's going to be tough for him and the Hawks, but it does seem like, I guess kind of a positive. Blashill said today that they kind of asked him like the severity, and he's like, he was kind of trying to figure out how to say it. And then he's just like, well, this isn't like the worst case scenario, but he's still going to miss time. And it feels like when it came out that like they'll evaluate him after New Year's, in my head, I'm like, oh, he'll be back then. But that's just when they're going to evaluate him again. So it seems right. Like the January 1st is going to be a big day for how he's progressed so far. And one positive I will say is Blashill saying that Bedard wants to play next week. So maybe it is not as bad as we think, but we saw it with the broken jaw. I think he was back on the ice before anyone expected. So he's going to try to get back out there, but this is a little different than a broken bone. If it's like ligament stuff or whatnot in his upper body, you got to be a little bit more careful to not get more damage.
Yeah, 100%. And I think the challenging part about this injury too is, because it's not a bone break where they're kind of just waiting for the bone to heal and then he can return, it's more of a, they have to make sure that he is 110% ready to be cleared to play so that he doesn't re-aggravate it when he does start to graduate to some of the next levels in his rehab process. And because it doesn't sound like the Blackhawks or Connor are exploring surgical options right now, they're going to try to rehab it. And so Yeah, so they definitely have to be extra cautious when it comes to that. I do want to weigh in on some of the reaction from the play itself. So I'm sure you've seen it, but Connor's taken a faceoff on the right faceoff circle. It's with 0.8 seconds left in the game, and the Hawks are down one. So the only way that the Blackhawks are scoring a goal in that situation is if there's a shot that happens immediately from the drop of the faceoff. And it's kind of funny, Jack, because if you look at the video, Connor is, he's looking behind him to his right at Jason Dickinson and is trying to like direct him over where he's going to quote unquote win the faceoff, but he's kind of using it as a decoy because there's no way he's actually going to try to win the faceoff and let Jason Dickinson take the shot because there's just no time for that to happen. So Connor's trying to like play it off like he's about to win the faceoff, but Braden Schenn, who's a savvy veteran, he knows that Connor has to get this shot off. And it's a reason why Connor was taking the faceoff is because it was on the right faceoff circle and he's a right-handed shot. So he knows that he can immediately shoot that puck on the net. If the faceoff happened on the left side of the faceoff circle, Connor's not taking that faceoff. It's a left-handed shot. So, and it wouldn't have been Frank Nazar because he's a right-handed shot. So it would have been someone that could have a left hand, get a quick left-handed shot. And so I'm looking at that and I'm like, it's just a highly unfortunate situation because it looks like the injury happens before the cross check even before he even goes down. Like it's just an awkward situation. And if you're Braden Schenn in that moment, you're essentially trying to do everything that you can to prevent Connor from getting a shot off. So Braden Schenn is not thinking in that moment, let me try to win this faceoff. He's thinking, let me try to disrupt Connor from getting a shot off. And he did exactly that. And I honestly did not have a problem with what Braden Schenn did. In fact, I would advise the Blackhawks to do the same if the roles were reversed. And it was weird to see someone. Now, I want to be careful not to like lump the entire fan base into this because sometimes Twitter, I feel like, can be a bad gauge of what the rational fans are thinking. But I did see a lot of social media comments wondering why the Blackhawks didn't defend Connor in that moment and start going after Braden Schenn and some of the Blues players. And I just don't think anyone really understood what happened. And it wasn't like a vicious play that would warrant something like that. Now, maybe there will be carryover in the next time the Blackhawks Blues play just because Connor has been sidelined or is going to be sidelined for multiple weeks because of it. And maybe it's just like you want to show, you know, that you're defending your teammate after the fact. And because it just, you know, he was just out of the lineup. But in the moment, everyone just saw Connor on the ground and they were like, what just happened? We didn't see exactly what was going on. And so it was hard for them to stick up for Connor in that moment with not knowing exactly what happened and what they were sticking up for. And there have been so many examples for Chicago this year that they have stuck up for one another, whether it's Louis Crevier in the Montreal home opener, whether it was the Calgary game, again, it was the coming to the defense of Frank Nazar with Vlasic and Colton Dock and Nick Foligno. All these players are willing to drop the gloves for their teammates. And so I honestly didn't have a problem with the play itself, nor did I have a problem with no one from the Hawks stepping in there because genuinely everyone was like, what just happened?
I think you're right. Cause it was quick. You're kind of like, whoa, like, you know, whatever. And when we're at the studio, we get, I guess there's a little inside behind, we get a direct feed. So the TV is behind us when we're watching. So we heard John and Steve describe it. So we're all kind of like looking at it. And so we kind of had more of a view or more of like kind of, we knew what was coming. So it looked like, oh, like it did get hit, but like you can't tell in the moment unless you slow it down. So I know a lot of people were mad at Braden Schenn, but I think Blashill, he keeps saying it wasn't his fault. It's just a freak thing. And I guess that's just what they have to move forward. And it's unfortunate that it happened like in that moment and just like a last second ditch effort to try to win a game and your star goes down. But hopefully he can get the rehab and they don't have to do surgery and he can come back in the next few months and the Hawks can hold water and they can keep trying to push to being around in the playoff conversation. But the main thing is Bedard is, and whatever he hurt is fine for the future too. Cause the way he shoots the puck, you don't want that to affect him at all with whatever it is.
Yeah. And the Blackhawks immediately felt Connor's presence in the very next game by literally getting shut out to the Detroit Red Wings. So like they're going to have to find a way moving forward to figure out how they're going to try to win hockey games without Connor. probably going to be winning, trying to win more 2-1 games, leaning on your defense and goaltending. And so we'll see how that plays out. I also wanted to get into how this could potentially impact Connor Bedard's chances of making Team Canada for the Olympics. And I see this two ways. I think Team Canada, we're never going to know this, Jack, but like, I really would like to know where Connor stood prior to the injury and whether he was had the inside track of making the roster or if he was still kind of a coin flip or barely on the outside looking in. So Team Canada can do this two ways. They can either, they can still name him to the roster if they felt like he had played himself onto it prior to the injury. And then if Connor isn't ready to go by February or maybe end of January, they get some clarity that Connor is still ramping things up and they just can't risk bringing him over in a short tournament like that where you need your guys playing your best hockey and there's no time to shake off rust. And if that happens, then they can name the replacement later on because then it kind of buys themselves some time. Or they don't name him, even if they were hoping to name him on the roster. But then in a situation where if Connor returns, let's just say hypothetically in mid-January or near the end of January at the very worst, when you're making a decision like this for Team Canada, then you are kind of banking on an injury to happen for a spot to open up. And then you kind of have to redesign your team that late in the game. So it's really hard because we're never going to know the answer on where he stood on Team Canada's roster. But this injury also impacts whether or not he will be available for the tournament, but also as Team Canada crunches their roster down, like they're making their roster decision, they're finalizing it on New Year's Eve. So in 2 weeks, essentially. And it's almost like, is he now out of sight, out of mind, or is he now, did he make the conversation more difficult inside the arena or inside the room? It's like, okay, now what do we do with this? Or is it, hey, he's hurt. He was a bubble guy anyway. This just made our decision easier. I don't know which of the two it is.
It seems like he's at least on the bubble, right? But it is tough because if he is on the bubble and he has an injury and he has that unknown, it's unfortunate, but it does seem like that would be like a negative towards him. But I agree with you. It would be interesting to be in those conversations. Where were they, like Florida last week having meetings? Like it'd be interesting to see where he'd be in. He's like right up there, like points per game with the top players. He's what, fourth in the NHL in scoring. So he's clearly taking his game to another level. And it's the type of player you want to bring to the Olympics, but, they do have to make sure everybody's ready. And the safe thing is like, if he was on the team, like you said, they could just name him and then injury replace him. But who knows with all the decision-making that goes into it and construction and, or whatever all of everyone's thinking, but this is a tough time for an injury for him. Cause he missed out, in the summer? He decided to focus on the season, and then now he's got maybe a chance to play for them in the Olympics. He wasn't there for the Four Nations, and it seemed like he was pushing his way towards it, and then he gets this injury like 6 weeks out, and it's a tough spot for him.
Yeah, and what's even more challenging about this, if you're Team Canada, is let's just say he had played himself onto the roster, and they were preparing to name him and lean on him in a big way. It's not like he's a bubble guy where he's like fourth line in the, you know, Tom Wilson, Seth Jarvis, like that range where you're like, okay, those players are interchangeable because they're going to be playing on the fourth line. This is a massive decision because if Connor is on the roster, he's going to be playing in the top six, or he's going to be the outside guy looking in. And then if you need an offensive boost mid tournament, he's going to jump into your top six. So it's not like he's like a depth player that you're expecting to play a checking role, penalty kill, where you can just be like, oh, okay, well, we'll just get another guy that can do that. It's like, if you were preparing for Bedard to be on the roster, you were preparing for him to slot him in on a line with either Connor McDavid or Nathan MacKinnon. And so that certainly impacts the thinking, I think, with Team Canada. And so we'll see how that all plays out, Jack. But I think from the Blackhawks perspective in the short term, they're really going to feel his presence. And I love what Steve Conrad said on our broadcast the other day. He's like, when they dealt with injuries like this, and one significant injury when he was a player, you look inside that locker room, it's like everybody has to raise their game 10%. And if everyone can get 10% better, you're kind of leaning on a committee type approach. And I think for the Blackhawks, that means, you know, like you think about the checking line of Teravainen, Dickinson, Mikheyev, like that line, that was the third line. That has now become the second line. And it's like now they not only need to check and defend well, but they also have to step up a little bit more offensively. And if you're a guy like Ryan Donato, who's hasn't had quite the season that he had last year, he's going to have to try to shoulder some more of the responsibility offensively to try to make more of an impact and be the player that he was last year relative to the player that he has been at times this year. You know, and obviously Bertuzzi, Burakovsky, they're going to feel the impact of not having Bedard either, because both of those guys have gotten a lot of their production. Bertuzzi on the power play, Burakovsky as well at 5-on-5 with a guy like Connor Bedard. So we'll see how that plays out, and it's going to be tough for Chicago, but I think they'll find a way through it if they get good defensive efforts and better goaltending. We got more to get to here on Blackhawks Live, presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be. Mike Palm from Circa is coming up next on 720 WGN. Back here on Blackhawks Live, presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be. When the Blackhawks win, you can win. Circa Sports is giving away one grand prize stay and other prizes every time the Blackhawks win. So every time the Blackhawks win, some will win a two-night stay at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, plus $500 stadium credit and a Blackhawks Centennial jersey. Additionally, 100 people will get a $100 credit on their Circa app account. Enter once, and you'll be eligible to win on all future game days when the Blackhawks win, home and away. See the Blackhawks contest page for details. Charlie Meliotis here on 720 WGN, and we are going to go to the phone lines now, speaking of Circa, and bring in our guy Mike Palm for our bi-weekly NHL update. Mike, what's going on tonight?
Charlie, how are you doing?
Oh, we're a somber mood in Chicago over the weekend, obviously, with the injury to Connor Bedard, because we weren't sure if we were looking at a short-term injury, a long-term injury, but we did get some clarity that it's going to knock him out for a few weeks here, and the Hawks are going to have trouble hovering around the playoff conversation without him, I anticipate. Do you agree?
I do agree, and they're going to have to try to tread water here for a couple of weeks, and hopefully it's only a couple of weeks. I know I read he's going to be reevaluated in January. Lasso didn't sound as optimistic maybe as the initial reports were, but we'll have to see. So they're going to have to find ways to generate offense. Obviously, Spencer Knight played awful well for them. And I did truly believe that they had a better than 50-50 shot of making the playoffs. You know, if he can get back in 2 to 3 weeks, maybe that decreases to a 40% chance. But it obviously hurts. It hurts from a betting perspective. If you took a flyer at 3.5 to 1 or 4 to 1 that they were going to make the playoffs.
Yeah, and it hurts if you took a long shot odds on Connor Bedard to be a Hart Trophy finalist at the beginning of the season, because it feels like he would have been a finalist, or at least he was on that trajectory if he continued that pace with Nathan MacKinnon, Macklin Celebrini. MacKinnon, Celebrini, Bedard, but McDavid he's been unbelievable in these last six games, I think averaging like 3 points per game. But boy, if you had a long shot ticket on Connor Bedard to be a Hart Trophy finalist or winner, those odds are officially now gone, it feels like, too.
Yeah, I think they were a little bit of a dream. McDavid went off to a very slow start, and now he's playing lights out, and maybe the trade to bring Jari there reinvigorates the team. They needed to do something in Edmonton. They either needed to change coaches or change goaltenders. They chose to change goaltenders. So we'll see if that's what they needed to get that team in gear, because they were flat. And I mean, not just flat here and there, just flat in general.
Totally agree. Speaking of trades, there was a big one that happened over the weekend outside of that goaltending swap between Pittsburgh and Edmonton. Quinn Hughes going from Vancouver to Minnesota, as if the Central Division wasn't loaded enough with Colorado, Dallas, and what was already a powerhouse-looking team in Minnesota. The rich get richer. What was your reaction when you saw that trade? Because I don't think many people had Minnesota pegged as one of the favorites. It was like Detroit. It was New Jersey. It was all these other teams. But Minnesota comes out of nowhere. And man, it was an eye opener across the league.
Well, I've been watching it much more closely since the emergence of Jesper Wallstedt. And by the way, you can still get him around 14-1 for Calder for Rookie of the Year, which I think is worth a bet right now. It's an interesting trade. See a superstar of his caliber traded at this point in his career. I know he said he wasn't going to resign in Vancouver, and so they were trying to make the most out of it. Their fan base is apoplectic, as maybe you can understand. Just listening to the podcast and the sports talk radio around Vancouver has been really eye-opening since Friday. But to me, for Bill Guerin here, I think he has to think that he has a shot at re-signing him after next season to another 6 years, because I don't know, to go all in like this, and you still, no matter how you slice it, you're going to have to beat Dallas and Colorado just to get to a West final. Are you that far all in that you're taking a 2-year shot at doing that? I think Guerin has to believe in his heart he's going to re-sign him to 6-plus years. If he doesn't, then this is really a risky move.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, given what Quinn Hughes had said to the media, just saying how much he respected that Bill Guerin did, he said, quote unquote, sack up to give up the assets for him. He said he's really going to remember that. So I'm wondering too, like, I know the Hughes brothers really want to play with each other. And obviously two of the three already are, but it just feels like it's going to be so difficult for them to line up if Quinn isn't the one joining them in New Jersey. But if he is the guy that says, you know what, I love it here in Minneapolis, they got a great core group, and he re-signs it, like, I could see that being a possibility. But I think it would have been more of a risk if he kind of came out and said, I'm not doing a deal with anyone until I'm a UFA. But I feel like Minnesota actually could warm up to the idea of it long term. It sounds like, from based on what Quinn is saying.
Yeah, but Charlie, the Kaprizov deal is so bad. Guerin overpaid $18 million a year. I mean, the superstars, McDavid's getting 12. They're signing for 11, and he paid 18. So how much money is going to be left to sign Hughes long term? I don't know. I know they immediately sold out all the rest of their home games as soon as the trade was announced. And obviously there's a great energy that it's created, but I'm going to be a little pessimistic on this deal.
Hey, I don't mind you being pessimistic, because from a Blackhawks standpoint, we hope that's the case and they tie up too much money to two players and it ends up hamstringing them. You mentioned that Minnesota is likely going to have to go through Colorado and Dallas. And to me, I guess they knew this already, but it feels like, Mike, I would really love for the NHL to go back to the 1-8, where the top two teams or the division winners get the top seeds, and then you just go, because it feels very unfair that the three best teams in the Western Conference right now are all in the Central Division, and two of those teams are going home before they even get to the conference final. Do you agree, or am I being an old curmudgeon?
No, I agree with that. I mean, you could argue that those three are better than anything in the Pacific, and I'm not head over heels about the Knights. You could argue that they might be the best three teams in hockey. Although I've been keeping my eye on Tampa. I think Tampa is better than I thought, and maybe, just maybe, Carolina found a goaltender in Bussey. But it's not fair. And the other thing for Minnesota, and they generally don't end up playing Dallas. Dallas has played Colorado. But the bad thing for Minnesota is the fake Ace Ottinger always plays well because he's a Minnesota boy, right? And he always plays well, notwithstanding he got beat the other night. If you get a playoff series there, I have more faith in Ottinger playing in front of his friends and family and sleeping in his boyhood bed in Minneapolis when he plays the Wild than him in other series that he would match up with in the Central Division. So I think that's a bad break for the Wild as well.
That's a good point. I wonder how much Bill Guerin was wanted to be aggressive with this trade because of the emergence of Jesper Wallstedt too. And you mentioned him as the kind of a long shot still to win those really valued odds for him to win the Calder Trophy. But it certainly feels like in a couple years, maybe even already, we'll be talking about him in the conversation of, you know, the Connor Hellebuck's, the Jake Ottinger's, and the top goaltenders in the league. Because, boy, I know he was drafted really high, but we're finally starting to see why he was taken that high. And maybe Minnesota's thinking, all right, we got our franchise goaltender that's now playing like a franchise goaltender. Let's try to go for it these 2 years, and we'll figure it out after Quinn Hughes.
It also makes me want to look at Sweden for the Olympics. They're really loaded in goal. Talk about the problems for Canada. If they would just play Logan Thompson, I think they would be all right, but that's probably not going to happen. And maybe Wedgwood is playing his way into a role for Team Canada, because Bennington has just been awful and has continued to be awful. But I think he's also, Wallstedt's emergence has made Gustafsson take his game to another level as well to try to maintain that lead role. And look, it's a short sample size for the Wall of St. Paul, but he's been awfully good. I mean, there's only one game in his career that you could say was a below average game, and he's now 12 or 13 starts. So, I was looking at Minnesota before they got Hughes. It's just the division is so impossibly tough.
Yeah, I totally agree. Mike, thank you as always for joining us here for our biweekly visit. We'll do it again in a couple weeks, and have a great Christmas if we don't speak before then.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, Charlie. Talk to you soon.
Awesome. That was Mike Palm from Circa, always providing the best storylines, the betting odds, what's going on around the NHL. Love checking in with him. We got one more break to get to, and then we're going to wrap up Blackhawks Live, presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be, next on 720 WGN. Back here on Blackhawks Live, presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be. Charlie Romeliotis and Jack Heinrich putting a bow on this show. Oh, that rhymed. I didn't even intend for that to rhyme. The Blackhawks had a fun little offensive boost to their last game with Nick Lardis getting called up from the Rockford IceHogs. We were talking about in the first segment how the Hawks are really going to need some players to elevate their games to help alleviate some of the offensive load that is no longer around with Connor Bedard. And I think it was cool to see Nick Lardis get an opportunity. I've always been a proponent of letting the prospects over marinate in Rockford, but this felt like a perfect opportunity for the Blackhawks to call up Lardis, who has been playing very well down in Rockford, but also allow him, putting him in a position that he'll succeed in. So he's going to be playing a top six role. He's on the first power play unit. And so I was excited to see what he was going to do on Saturday night in his first career NHL game. And Jack, he really impressed me. He finished with 8 shot attempts. I think he registered 3 on net, and he just had this shoot first mentality. He's really fast, like faster than I thought. He grew an inch over the summer, so he's now officially 6 feet. And so I'm really curious to see what he's going to do with this opportunity in the NHL. I wonder if it'll be similar to Ryan Green's situation, where Green was supposed to start the year in Rockford. He gets called up to the Blackhawks on the day before opening night because there was an injury to Landon Slaggart, and Green really ran with that opportunity. I wonder if Lardis could do the same, where he gets called up sooner than expected because an opportunity popped up, and maybe he can run with this. And so I wouldn't be surprised if Lardis is a player that we see elevate his game and is surprisingly good during the stretch where Connor Bedard is out.
That'd be I guess that's like the one positive, is Lardis gets to come up and get that NHL taste. And yeah, I mean, that power play in the third period, he was kind of bombs away on that one. He was really forcing everything, which was good to see, because he's up on the top power play and he's in basically Bedard's spot, right, on that top power play. So I had one go off the crossbar. He didn't look nervous. I liked what Jeff Blashill said after the game, is he put him on that line with Oliver Moore and I think Ryan Green, just because he wanted him to be aggressive, because he was saying sometimes when guys come up and debut and you put them with some veterans, they might defer. But he's like, I want to put him with these young guys because I want him to play his game. And he looked pretty comfortable out there, which was good to see. I mean, he was noticeable on the ice, and hopefully he can build on that. It sounded like it was a whirlwind with him coming up where he had the, I think the bus turned around on Rockford when they were getting ready to go to Grand Rapids, and then he said he barely slept. So hopefully he's having getting a little used to it, getting his feet under him a little bit here, but going straight to Canada. So just getting thrown right into it, which I think is a good thing for the young Hawks forward.
Yeah, and what's crazy too about this, him playing on a line with Oliver Moore and Ryan Green, is I thought that was going to be a line that was the first line in Rockford this season. And now they find themselves in, now they find themselves on a line here in Chicago. And so, that's going to be fun to watch. Last thing, Laurent Brossoit was back with the Blackhawks, today at practice after his AHL conditioning stint ran out. And so now the Hawks are in a position where they got to figure out what they want to do with him. And earlier today, they placed him on waivers. And if he goes through, then he's going to go back to Rockford. But here's what I think could happen. He has a $3.3 million cap hit, and he's got 1 year left on his contract. This is the final year of his contract. And so I think the $3.3 million cap hit might still be too high for contending teams that are up against the cap but need a goaltender to swallow without a larger body of work. So I wonder if it's going to be a situation where Brossoit goes unclaimed. Then he goes to the AHL. Like, after he's unclaimed, you can essentially, that I think would free up teams to actually want to now trade for him, because if you put in a claim for Brossoit right now, he would have to be on your NHL roster for 30 days. So if you're an NHL team, you might not want to do that. You might want to have him as your third goaltender in the AHL. And so I think if he goes unclaimed, I think trade talks could pick up between the Blackhawks and whoever is looking for an extra goaltender, where you can send him to your AHL team, let him play games there, prove that he can be that 1B goaltender again moving forward. And so I'd be curious to see if that's what happens with Laurent Brossoit, because it feels like he still has game left. Like, his three starts in his conditioning stint, I thought were really strong. He even scored a goal, which is absolutely hilarious. But I think that there was a situation, I think a few years ago, I cannot remember the situation, where the Blackhawks ended up trading someone or acquiring, I can't remember which one they were on, of a player that ended up going on waivers 2 days prior and going unclaimed, and then the Hawks traded for him or sent him away. And everyone's like, oh, why did they do that? It's like, well, because they didn't want him on their active roster in the NHL. They wanted him in the AHL. So something to monitor moving forward. That's going to do it for Blackhawks Live, presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Our next show is going to be Monday, December 22nd at 7 p.m.